Welcome to the Seth Gruber Show, coming to you again from NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, because so many warriors are here and the culture of death is out of control. That's why the CDC and public health in England right now is saying that healthcare providers need to help gender-confused men who want to have babies to excrete a substance from their male tit to make their babies suck on their nipples so they can chest feed and feel like mommies. Abortion's being legalized through point of birth and codified into state constitutions all around America. Most of the pulpits are silent. Where is the prophetic voice of the church? This culture of death couldn't have been predicted by Francis Schaeffer in the 70s. It's so out of control, it's begging the question, where are the bold Christians? Where is the prophetic voice of the pulpit? And because of cowardice, courageous leaders rise and people flock to them for the clarity that their pulpits and pastors are not providing. And one of those heroes is Elisa Childers, who has provided so much clarity, biblically, theologically, philosophically, and culturally, to the blood-bought bride of Christ in America, who is craving, the Gen Z is craving for clarity, for truth, the things that are driving them insane. And they're not getting their answers from most of the pulpits of America. Elisa Childers is providing a lot of those answers of the Elisa Childers YouTube channel and podcast, her new book, The Deconstruction of Christianity, What It Is, Why It's Destructive, and How to Respond. Elisa, thank you for joining the Seth Gruber Show.
Oh, man, I just want to keep hearing you talk. Just keep going.
Now I've I put you up on a pedestal. I know, don't let us down.
I don't feel I've earned that, but I want to aspire to
be. So you used to be
that.
In the Christian music industry. Yes. For people who don't know, tell us the quick little 30-second background, and yeah. Then let's talk about how God's using you today.
Yeah, I never dreamed I'd be writing books. I was always going to be in music my whole life. Loved Jesus my whole life. Wow. Read almost the whole Bible by the time I was 12 years old. And went into music and as a part of the group Zoe Girl, yeah. After Zoe Girl came off the road, I had a faith crisis, which really caused me to have to question and search and study. And so that's why I do what I do.
Are you saying you deconstructed before it was being celebrated by Christians?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because in my first book, I actually did call it a deconstruction, because it was
really?
The best word I had at the time. I didn't really understand.
You did?
I did.
How interesting
but
is that?
But I correct myself in this book,
okay.
I say that's the wrong word,
that's
because
right.
I was searching for truth.
That's good.
I didn't have the authority of the self leading that charge.
So when did you say, you know what, I've had enough, I'm going to start using my voice and my platform to talk about what's happening in the American church and provide God's truth, the full counsel of God. I want to know, I want our listeners to know, when did Elisa Childers say, I'm done, I'm burning the ships, I don't care anymore, I want to be found faithful and standing for the truth. What, like, when was that moment for you?
There's been something in me my whole life that has been bent that way, even in high school and all the way through even my young adulthood. I had that in me to be kind of like, I'm not going to join the groups. I've never been a joiner, you know, because I see groups go off cliffs.
Yeah.
So I think that's okay, been in me a little bit from the start. But I think probably in this context, it was 2016 when my faith had really restabilized. And I saw progressive Christianity devouring the church. And that's when I started speaking exclusively about that.
Is it Christianity?
No, it is not. In fact, my whole first book argues that it's a different religion.
Now, that's not very tolerant or kind, Elisa.
No, I know.
How dare you
so
judge the validity of people's faith?
Yeah.
You know, you can have a good tree that bears bad fruit, don't you know? How dare you judge the fruit? I mean, come on. This stuff is so blatantly in your face. So 2016, you burned the ships. And now, God is just using your voice, your show, your YouTube channel, and the books to provide so much clarity. And there's just not enough of it happening in the church right now. And we were talking off air about some of these things that Vodi Bakum kind of called the fault lines.
Yes, that's
right. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But tell us about where God has you now. This is your new book. Maybe talk about this, or maybe talk about what caused you to write this. Like, what are the things happening right now that we as Christians should be aware of in the church, and how you're providing some clarity and answers to that.
I wrote this book because there was a real sense of urgency in my mind, because I was watching otherwise solid evangelical leaders talk about deconstruction as if it's a good thing. You know, inviting young Christian kids to deconstruct their faith. And what they meant was, you know, take what your parents gave you, measure it against scripture. But it was such a naive position, because what's happening in the deconstruction movement is it's very evangelistic, and the only point is to get you to leave historic Christianity, which is what they call toxic theology. And so if you have a young
everything's
toxic. But if you have a young person who really wants to pursue Christ and make their faith their own, maybe even engage some of their doubts and ask some hard questions.
Wow.
I mean, I say, yeah, do that. But if you call it deconstruction, they're one click away from an entire community of people that operates a lot like a cult filled with propaganda.
And the trans movement.
That's
in
right.
In both
it's
cases,
very similar.
When you leave the historic tradition that you're from and you go to whether it's progressive deconstruction Christianity or the transgender community, they laud you, they celebrate
right.
you, they put you on a pedestal,
it's
they
a
say,
whole community.
Slay queen.
That's
and
right.
And you only get affirmations.
That's right.
Which only encourages you
That's
to
right.
run pell-mell into the cult.
Right, and there's so much misinformation and demonstrably false claims, but people don't care because there's a million views, 200,000 likes. So it really does operate very
wow.
cultish
yeah.
and with a lot of propaganda.
Yeah, yeah. It's sad to see how real these fault lines are. And by fault lines, by the way, for you guys listening, it refers to Vodi Bakum's book, Fault Lines, mm-hmm. that you know, eventually, you know, genealogically speaking, a fault line can only continue to increase so much before the entire foundation
yeah.
is rocked and the whole
right.
thing falls in. And so there are fault lines in evangelicalism.
Yes.
And some of them are becoming so broad. And here's why it's important is because believers, Christians, lay Christians, the next generation, maybe moms and dads or kids just trying to provide for their family, get through school, who aren't like culture warriors, maybe. You know what I mean? I mean they're not spending their days like you and I do, like researching, studying
yeah.
deeply. But they are looking for Christian clarity on these issues. They're being led astray.
Yeah.
They're being deceived by people who have positioned themselves as our evangelical betters, as
yeah.
our thought leaders.
That's right.
And so, for example, at NRB, here we are, there was a morning session this morning with my earthly hero, Pastor Jack Hibbs, another one of my pastoral heroes, Alan Jackson of World Outreach Church in Murfreesboro,
uh-huh.
Tennessee, and J.D. Greer.
Interesting
who
combo.
Who spouts
yeah.
critical race theory from the pulpit. And who once said on a Sunday morning that, quote, if God makes your conscience feel good voting for Democrats, quote, I just think that's great.
Wow.
And so these fault lines are manifesting yeah. here at this conference as we speak.
Yeah.
With two hero men with a complete coward and false teacher who's leading the church into false ideologies.
Mm.
So what are the things that we need to be aware of? What are some of these fault lines or issues that are being injected with Christianese
yeah.
that are actually false religion? They're actually heresies. They're actually not the historic Orthodox Christian tradition.
Right.
What are some
well,
of the things you talk about?
I would say one of those, especially as it's coming in, you know, progressive Christianity is kind of obvious because theologically they're rejecting every core point of the gospel. So that's kind of easy to discern. But what's more difficult to discern, as you point out, is evangelical leaders who seem to agree with some of the points of progressive Christianity, but they're still checking
yeah.
the doctrinal boxes on the gospel.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's the tough thing.
Syncretism.
So, yes, that's right. And so what I think maybe like in what would be relevant to what you talk about a lot is the issue of abortion. So 10 years ago, many quote unquote progressive Christians would have said they're pro-life. Now, many do not. Many now just say they're completely for reproductive justice and all this stuff. But what has come in, I think, and through critical theory, you probably could speak to this way better than I could, is
probably
the,
not, but
the,
keep going.
Well, I think the critical theory
yep.
has made its way into the pro-life conversation with when people, well, you're pro-life, no, you're just pro-birth, it's womb to tomb, and then they use that as a pivot to start arguing. I mean, you know this.
Good for you, Lisa. Good
you know,
for
they,
you.
To start arguing
I'm not pro-life, I'm
penalty.
Whole life.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And it's
so it's not about protection of life in the womb, it's about allegedly quality of life outside the womb. And
right.
here are our Bernie Sanders policies for how we're going to increase quality of life outside the womb. And if you disagree, you don't love your neighbor.
Right. I was literally just at a very, very Christian, very bold conference. And in the Q&A, somebody got up and said, why is it that Christians on the left or that are more in, you know, on the left side politically, why do they care about single moms and babies? And the people on the right don't. I mean, this was the question I was asked at an apologetics
yeah.
conference.
Yeah.
And this is how much that has gotten into
yeah.
the bloodstream
it has.
Of the average Christian.
You know who helped? This is really sad, Elisa, but do you know who helped shift the Overton window in evangelicalism further left than anyone else I know of in the last 20 years? But first, we want to give a thank you to our sponsor, Every Life Diaper Company. Every Life Diaper. Go to everylife.com. Use promo code Seth10. Listen, do you have grandkids? Do you have nieces or nephews? Do you buy diapers for your aunts or uncles or for your grandkids or for your kids' kids or for your kids? Are you still having babies? You got lots of poop around the house? What about your nursery at your church? Maybe you're a pregnancy resource center. Maybe you just want to gift someone for a baby shower. Every major diaper company in America rhetorically or financially supports the abortion industry. Wild, unreal, can't make it up. The baby industry helping subsidize the killing of babies so they sell less diapers. Every Life Diaper, the only pro-life diaper company in America. And why do we have them as a sponsor of this show?
because you can't defeat a culture of death by funding that culture of death. You need to fight with your wallets and your dollars and be a steward of the money God has given you. Go to everylife.com, everylife.com, promo code Seth10, Seth10, Seth10 for 10% off your first order. Everylife.com. Thank you for being a sponsor of the Seth Gruber Show.
Tim Keller helped shift the Overton window further left in evangelicalism than maybe any other figure. I mean, the Gospel Coalition is his brainchild.
Yeah, remember, that's right.
He founded the Gospel Coalition.
Yes.
And I spoke at a conference with Vodi Bakum in 2022 at Godspeed Calvary Chapel with my pastor, Rob McCoy. And it was me, David Benham, Owen Strand, and Vodi. And Vodi actually defended me when he got up after I went after Tim Keller, because Tim Keller has this Facebook post from right before the Biden-Trump
election. I remember
this.
I do remember this. Yes.
And he said, the Bible tells me that abortion is a sin and a great evil, but it doesn't tell me the best way to end it, nor which policies are most effective. This means when it comes to voting, taking political positions, and determining alliances, the Christian has liberty of conscience.
Yeah.
In other words, you can vote for pro-abortion Democrats who run on the platform of lynching image bearers in the womb in the same location that your Savior entered human history in to redeem mankind from their sins.
Yeah.
Because if God tells you, like J.D. Greer, if God tells you that that's okay, well, then I just think that's great. And the irony of this, Elisa, is that he wrote a New York Times op-ed a few years ago called "How Do Christians Fit Into a Two-Party System?" They don't.
I remember that, too.
And in that article, I love how good you know this stuff, he goes after politically apathetic Christians in the 1850s who wouldn't vote against slavery because they didn't want to be perceived as political.
Yeah.
And he says that to not be political is to be political. That's what Tim Keller said in that piece. And he rips apolitical third way Christians in the 1850s who wouldn't vote for Lincoln. They wouldn't vote against slavery because they didn't want to be seen as political.
Yeah.
And he says that that's evil and wrong.
Yeah.
So he says it's evil and wrong to not vote at all when the question in at the moment is the rights of black men.
Yeah,
but when it comes to the babies in the womb,
it can be money.
Not only does he say you can be apolitical, he says you can vote for the party and politician. By the way, Tim Keller, up until his death, was a registered Democrat.
I knew that.
So
to
bolster your point, these are intense fault lines that are telling the next generation of Christians, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to be a part of the culture.
Can I comment
of death.
On Tim Keller a little bit?
Because I want you to.
That one is particularly heartbreaking for me because when I was in my faith crisis and my faith was under attack theologically, we hadn't even been really talking about any of the stuff that might affect. And Tim Keller was one of those voices that really helped me.
The reason for God is incredible.
It's incredible. And I remember listening to a lot of his, I had lived in New York and the way he was talking to New Yorkers, and yet, as far as I could tell, I didn't go super deep, but every time he would get back around to the biblical answer, and then I started to see some of this stuff that you're describing, and it was really heartbreaking. I mean, there are so many good things about him. In fact, we even quote him in the book as someone who invited a Q&A time, which a lot of pastors don't do, which we think pastors should do. But you're right that it is so confusing for Christians because you have somebody like a Tim Keller, who probably there are a lot of people who are Christians today because of him.
Yeah.
But then
that's why I get ripped from people if I go after him, because they're like, I have five of his books.
Right.
He's
amazing. I'm in apologetics because of Ravi Zacharias. But that doesn't mean, you know.
That's right.
So it's truth is truth. Right.
Yeah, amen.
So we don't follow people. We follow Jesus. But it can be confusing because when you trust a voice on a certain thing, it's like you don't believe they really mean what they're saying when they say things like, I remember when all that stuff came out before the election, I was so disappointed to hear him speak with such a lack of clarity because I had such respect for him.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people are, and I always want to give people as long a rope as possible.
Oh, totally.
But there comes a point where it's like, okay, look, I don't have to say that this person's not a Christian, but I can say that what they're saying, I strongly disagree with, and it's causing people to become very wishy-washy and not speak out with courage.
Well, Elisa, I mean, like, Tim Keller, Russell Moore, Ed Stetzer, David French, Rick Warren and N.T. Wright all platformed and praised Francis Collins, the director of the NIH.
Right.
All of those men had them on their podcasts. Tim Keller did. They all did.
Yeah.
And they called him a Christian spirit-filled brother.
Yes,
Russell
I know.
Russell Moore said, no, David French called him a national treasure.
Yeah.
Ed Stetzer said, I can't wait to see how God uses you next.
Yes.
Ed Stetzer, the dean of Talbot Theological Seminary, Biola's flagship seminary. They have all, none of those men, and of course Keller's not with us anymore, but none of those men have ever to this day publicly acknowledged, repented, or apologized for their role in advancing the goals of a man who I think should be referred to as the Joseph Mengele of the 21st century. Yeah. Collins was doing some things that, like, I talk about in this podcast, but if you're a parent, you should probably mute the podcast. I mean, like, third trimester funding of abortion, scalping full-term babies,
yes,
and grafting their scalps onto lab rats. Like, all of that came out with Collins' approval of funding. All of that came out before these men had them on their podcast.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, and so this is why
Pride
your voice,
Month, Elisa, and celebrating Pride Month.
Yeah, celebrating
Month
Pride, calling himself an ally of the LGBTQ, the whole thing. This is why your voice, I think, is so important in these times, Elisa, is because you're willing to warn. You're willing to warn. I think about, you know, the men on the city walls, right? Who were supposed to blow the trumpet in Israel, right? If the enemy comes. And it's the watchman on the wall. It's a very scary thing to read.
Yeah.
It says if the watchman on the wall sees the sword of the enemy coming, and he does not blow the trumpet, so the people are not warned,
right,
and the sword comes and takes any from among them, they are taken away in their iniquity, but their blood I will require at the watchman's hand.
Mm.
You're supposed to be a watchman.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be the pastor, the leader, and you didn't warn. It's a sobering thing. So thank you for being a watchman. As we wind down, tell us where people can get your book, or tell us why they should read it. Tell us why this is helpful.
Yeah, thank you for asking that, because a lot of people are writing books to give to people who are in deconstruction. This is not the book. They're not going to like it. Don't give it to them.
Yeah. This or maybe book, they should.
Well, we wrote it hopefully in a way that we invite them in to hear what we have to say. But this is not the book we wrote for the deconstructionist. We wrote this book for their moms and dads, their pastors, their brothers and sisters, their spouses, that are trying to figure out what's happening to their loved one. So we want you to understand the nature of what's going on with your loved one.
Yeah.
We want you to understand where it's all coming from, how it's manifesting in culture, what it means, and why it's tearing down the faith of so many people. But then also, ultimately, we spend quite a lot of time with the how question.
Yeah.
Like, how can a spouse walk with their spouse where one is deconstructing and one is trying to remain a faithful Christian?
Wow.
Like, what does that look like? So talk about that. A lot of equipping in
that's
that
hard,
way, too.
So it's very practical for
people. Especially towards the end. Like, the whole part three is all about the practical side of how to walk this out.
Good. Well, guys, if you're listening to this, we have a lot of believers and family members and parents that listen to this show. You know, this might be part of your story. You might be walking through that. So the Deconstruction of Christianity, you definitely want to pick this up. Tim Barnett's a friend as well. I'm excited to read this. Look at this. John Cooper has endorsed it. The Skillet. We've had him on the show. Amazing warriors.
Yes.
Elisa, thank you for being a voice for truth. We hope many people subscribe to her YouTube channel.
Yeah,
Elisa Childers. And can they get this book wherever they get books?
Yeah, Amazon, all the places. And then there's also the Elisa Childers podcast, where weekly we go into topics like these. I want to have you on to talk about
some
of this
as well.
Let's
do it. I'd be honored. Well, keep it up, okay?
Absolutely.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Elisa.